If you listen close enough, you can hear that hammer ringing. That's Bruce Springsteen doing John Henry. It is 20 minutes before 9 o'clock. We would like to thank Northview Bank, a trusted mortgage lender in the Northland, offering home loan products for everything from a starter home to a dream home and everything in between. Earning customers' trust and business for over 100 years, Northview Bank. Excuse me, Northview.com.
You're listening to KEXE, KBXE. It is 8:40. It's the Thursday morning show. I'm Heidi Holton with John Bauer. Minnesota Diversified Industries is a manufacturer and a nonprofit social enterprise with a mission to provide employment opportunities and services for people with disabilities. You know those plastic totes, we were talking about them earlier.
Yep.
That's one of the things that they make there, the kind that are used by the U.S. Postal Service. For organizations across the country, they make things like that, from small businesses to Fortune 500 companies. They have facilities in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hibbing, and Minneapolis. Peter McDermott is the president and the CEO of MDI, and he joins us now. Peter, thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. So we want to hear about the job opportunities at MDI, but first let's talk a little bit about the pandemic and how you guys have been doing.
Yeah, it was a blow to everybody when this came out in early March, and we were notified just as everybody else was, that this was a serious matter. And almost immediately, we were notified by the Postal Service and about 28 other commercial customers that we were an essential supplier to them and that we needed to continue to operate. And so we didn't lose any time, actually, in those days. We kept running along the way here. But, of course, we actually had five goals that we had set out for the year, but we put those aside and said we have to have new goals now with what's going on. And then the first and foremost was the safety of our employees. We didn't want anybody to contract it and bring it into the plant or any of our facilities and we'll put in place everything that we possibly could do. And so we prepared a COVID preparedness plan. And it's actually out there on our website. And we were actually at the beginning, we were updating it weekly, if you will. And we've been fortunate, and every time I say this, I get a little nervous because we have not had an employee yet contract COVID. We've had some family members have, but fortunately, they haven't come into the plant. So we continue to operate. But at one time, we had about 140 of our employees furloughed. And primarily, those were self-furloughed. They wanted to stay home because of the safety and whatnot. And so that was, but actually at the same time, our business went down. And so that kind of matched our business, if you will. And that was okay, although we were, as a lot of businesses did during that low points, we were losing money. But that was, we could afford to do that. Because our number one was safety. So the other was to get everybody back to work. And then try to get to break even by the end of the year. So those are the three goals we set, and said those are the things that are the most important as we go forward. So we have continued to run, and now we've brought people back to work. We have all but about 20 of our employees back, and we're getting into a hiring mode. So we've been fortunate.
So you've had to be nimble on your feet, huh?
Yeah, we have. It was interesting because it was week to week. The management team was meeting on Sunday nights and saying, okay, here's our plan for the coming week. And at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Monday morning, we'd have employee meetings and relate to them what was decided and how we were going to operate. And it worked. I mean, one thing I found to do, especially in crises like this, we have to be open and just tell everybody what we know and how we're dealing with it and doing the best we can. And so I think the employees appreciate that.
Peter, this is John Bauer. Businesses are certainly struggling to find employees. What's your process going to be, and do you have to have a disability to work at MDI?
Well, that last point, John, let me hit that first because it's really most important. You know, Heidi read our mission statement, and the one word I'd emphasize in that mission statement was inclusive. At MDI, we have a target of 50% people with documented disabilities and 50% without. And as far as I'm concerned, everybody is an employee at MDI. In fact, I don't know what people's disability is. I mean, some of it's very obvious, but a lot of it is hidden, if you will. you know, mental illness or whatever. And so, but we want an inclusive, everybody's included, everybody's an employee, and we don't treat our employees any differently, whether they have a disability or don't. I mean, they're all required to show up for work on time, work to their capabilities, and respect their coworkers. And as I've said to many times, if you can do those three things, you do fine here at MDI. So with that inclusive environment, and right now we're in hiring mode. So it was kind of interesting. Back in the beginning of August, the Postal Service let us know that they were going to need 2 million tubs, the large tub. I guess you guys were talking about earlier that if you're on vacation, that tub that comes with the mail in it, that you're supposed to return to the Postal Service. At any rate, they continually need more of them on a regular basis, but it's they let us know that they're going to need 2 million, and they're going to need 1 million trays. And by the first week in November, well, we said that's a pretty steep ramp up, and we won't be able to do that, but we can do about 1.4 million of the tubs and about 450,000 trays by that time, and the balance we could do in the next couple of months after that. And the real problem is actually bringing on people that quickly. So we actually put out the word that we were going to need people. We use contract agencies, Always There, Express, and DPI here in northern Minnesota. And that's where most of the jobs are needed, by the way, between our plants in Hibbing and Grand Rapids and Cohasset. And we put out the word, and we've been very fortunate. I have to, again, knock on wood, that we've been fortunate to bring on quite a few people, about 150 or so far. They're coming to work. They go through orientation, and so we're finding people. I mean, there are people out there that want to work, and they're just not given the opportunity. And that goes for people with and without disabilities, frankly. You know, there's a lot of efforts been going on in northern Minnesota to help create jobs. And that's what we do at MDI. We create job opportunities. You know, some people, frankly, don't want to work, and that's okay. That's their choice. But if they want to work, we have jobs.
You know, you mentioned those tubs, and we're supposed to give them back to the post office. People love them. They're just handy. But I wonder if, are you able to get all the supplies, all the things you need to make the tubs?
Well, that's interesting, Heidi. You know, a lot goes behind this, because we use millions of pounds of resin that we bring in our rail cars that are on the rail siding behind just north of the Blandon paper mill. And so we have to get that. And so we immediately started talking to our supplier, ExxonMobil, about that resin, and then also our steel suppliers, because there's a steel rim that goes in these tubs, and whether they could provide it or not, and started the shipment, because we had to get the pipeline started to be filled. So, yeah, there was lots of logistics that went into this whole thing of ramping up. And we're still in that mode, I have to say. You know, I'm hoping that we're going to be able to meet this commitment for the Postal Service. But again, it's going to be dependent on getting the people in the door. I mean, we still need about 40 people in Hibbing, 10 in Grand Rapids, and about 30 in Cohasset. And those numbers vary week to week, because, you know, some people come and don't stay. It's not suited for them for whatever reason. But we do everything to retain them. And actually, this time around, I think we're having a better retention than we have had in the past. We have increased the wages. It's $15 an hour. They're contract jobs, and it's temporary employment through the first week of November. You know, it might last a little longer. I don't know. We'll have to just see. But, so they're not bad wages. And if someone, when people can get to work overtime if they'd like, and get paid time and a half. So, you know, we're hopeful that we're going to be able to get this done, but we need people. So if there's people out there listening, and they have to just contact. I can give some contact information. It's, you know, they can go on the website at mdi.org, and they'll fill out an application. There's a number of different jobs that are available for folks. So,
Just
encouraging them to do that.
That's Peter McDermott, President and CEO of MDI. So you said that through the first week of November, does that mean the Postal Service needs these totes because of the elections, or do you not know like the, why they need these?
Well, it is actually interesting. I think that's it. It's the first week of November.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that it comes around. But, you know, it's interesting. The Postal Service over the years, and this is sort of something that I learned 12 years ago when I started, that the Postal Service, it's volatile. I mean, you know, there's been years. There was one year back, a number of years ago, that they needed 9 million tubs. And then another year they need 1 million tubs. And so, there's about 20 things that influence that. I mean, right now they have a new Postmaster General, and that's made some differences. They have actually a new person that actually is responsible for buying our tubs and trays, or, you know, for the quantity, if you will, of tubs and trays. And so those things make a difference on how they look at the numbers and when they put their orders in. You know, the real demand for tubs, and right now everybody's aware of the Postal Service has this demand for tubs to make sure that they can process any mail-in ballots and whatever. So I think that is part of it, and certainly that was the deadline that they put on us. That was the first week in November, and it was, you know, driven by Election Day.
Besides tubs, Peter, what other products do you make, and have those products taken have they slowed down because of the pandemic?
You know, John, they did. They did slow down at the front end of this. We saw a little bit of a fall off in demand, but then that's picked up. And this is specific on the plastic tubs and trays. You know, we make them for the Uline catalog. I don't know if people are familiar with the Office catalog, but we sell over $1.5 million of product to Uline, and they put it in their catalog, and it's sold to people that can go on and just order it, and they can have tubs the next day. So they're the same shapes and sizes as a postal tub. We actually make some boxes for Frito-Lay that they'll send the chips and whatnot out to the stores, and they're reusable, and they come back in. You know, Nike's a customer. A couple of years ago, we picked up Amazon as a customer and used in some of their distribution centers around the world, not just in the United States. And it took us about a year to design a tray with a hard bottom that worked well on their conveyor systems. And I have to attribute our team here that developed it. We went through a number of iterations. And so there's some big customers out there. And that's been growing. You know, the Postal Service is our best and worst customer. And I say that because of the volumes, it's been great, but the volatility is a problem because we have to bring people on for short periods of time. And the short period of time, it could be 2 months in this case, or 3 months, or it could be, you know, a year. Then next year we don't have jobs. But we're hoping that people that come to MDI and are able to work with us for a while, that gets them back into the workforce, and then gives them some job experience so that hopefully that they can get a job in the community. You know, always in the community you hear about people having a tough time finding people. Well, hopefully if they worked at MDI, then they have some work experience that they can do that. So, but we have a variety of different size tubs and trays. And there's hopper boxes that are used in distribution centers for holding products and whatnot. So there's a lot of uses. There's tree wrap. We actually use the plastic for tree wrap to protect the trees. You see some of that in the golf course there, John.
So you make the white plastic wraps.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Yeah. So
that's Peter McDermott. We're hearing about job opportunities at MDI right now. The positions pay start at $15 an hour, including all shifts. And you can find out more information on these jobs at mdi.org/jobs. Or you can also text 218-313-1700 or call us. We'll give you more information. 800-662-5799. Peter, we wish you the best and hope to check in with you after the elections.
Okay, great, Heidi. Thanks, John.
See ya.
Thanks a lot.
Yep,
you're listening to the Thursday morning show, right?
Yeah.
Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk about another industry in northern Minnesota with Jesse Davis. We'll talk real estate at 8:10.
Strange is Bella.